Peter, James, and John had devoted their lives to telling people about Jesus, telling stories of the wonderful things that he did, repeating the beautiful things that he said, following him, and calling others to join them in that joyful way. Peter and James and John, they had devoted their whole lives, all of the life that they had in them to give. They had devoted this to telling people about Jesus. But on this day, Jesus has taken them away from all of that, away from the crowds who they had helped gather, away from the crowds and up onto a high mountain by themselves. Away even from the rest of the disciples, Peter, James, and John followed him. Whatever it was that Jesus wanted to share with them, whatever it was that they would see there on that mountain, it must have been something that was to be special. And to tell people what they had seen, to be the first to be able to share this, this would certainly fill the heart with eager anticipation as they climbed the mountain. And at the top there of the mountain, Jesus begins to pray. And Peter and James and John, they see the appearance of Jesus' face change. He looks different, not like a different person, but somehow different. Maybe you know what it's like. Maybe you've seen a musician before, caught up in the ecstasy of making music. Or maybe you've caught a glimpse of a person's face just at the moment when they begin uncontrollably laughing. Their face looks different. It transforms. They look not like someone else, but rather somehow more like themselves, so that you can see them truly, because all artifice, all guardedness has fallen away. And their face is transfigured, changed into something not different, but somehow more themselves. It's beautiful to see. When you catch a glimpse of this, it is wonderful to look at. Like a candle burning in a dark room, it's all you want to look at. Now, if such moments are like a candle, then Jesus was like the blazing sun. Peter and James and John, they saw Jesus clearly. They saw the Son of God with all guardedness, any artifice, all distance removed from them, so they could see clearly with their own eyes the glory of Jesus, complete. And he was talking about a new exodus, a new deliverance that was set to begin soon, just as they reached Jerusalem. It was to begin on that mountaintop. They were standing in the very center of history. The salvation of God was like a wellspring bubbling up beneath their feet that was to flow out down from the mountain over the entire world to water the face of the earth with God's own gracious love. And they were there for it. The world would never be the same from that moment onward. Peter and James and John, they were there, and they could be the first to tell the story of what they had seen. And so what do? The gospel says they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. They kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Why? Why would they hold this silence? They did not even tell the other disciples. Why? They had devoted their lives to telling people about Jesus and this most wondrous gift, this most wondrous vision given to them alone, they keep silent. As a matter of the head, it makes no sense. I don't understand it. It doesn't add up. But as a matter of the heart, I understand it. I do. I understand why they keep their silence. The hope that had just been kindled in them, this small flame of hope that had been given to them, they might puff it out with their words. This faith that was growing in them, it was too huge. It was too huge and new for them to pour into the mold of their little words. It would pour out over the sides, overflowing and be wasted on the ground. I understand why they keep silent. I do. It's the same reason why when I was an adolescent, and when I first began to experience what it means to love and desire another person, why I kept that to myself, allowing no one to know, least of all the person after whom my heart was fixed, for anyone to know of this yearning of my heart, this was too dear and too tender, too new of a hope to expose to the gawking of others. Words would turn this from light into mud. And so I kept my silence there with the first flutterings in my heart of what love would mean. I guarded that silence. Peter and James and John, they keep what they saw on that mountaintop a secret. They kept their silence about it, and I understand it. I do. They kept it to themselves for the same reason that my wife and I, we did not leave the house for days and days and days after our daughter was born and refused all visitors to hold her in our arms, to trace every line of her skin and watch every move of her body. This was all that we wanted to do. And we could not bear to have anyone look upon her that did not see just what we saw. We could not bear to share these moments with other people for whom these moments could not, did not mean the same thing. We walled up our hearts. We walled ourselves up in silence so that we could be alone together, the three of us, for whom there was nothing else in the world that really mattered in those days, guarding our silence. Peter and James and John, they keep silent about what they saw on that mountaintop. Of course, they did. Of course they did. What else are they supposed to do? They experienced a moment that changed them at the very heart, the very root of them. They saw their wildest hopes confirmed. Every bit of their wildest hopes was shown to be real. What's more, they had been shown that the extent of their hopes, the borders of them, the whole of them, these were but a few crumbs of bread. And God had shown them a feast. What are they to do? Compress it all down into words? As if it were ordinary things? What are they supposed to do? Pour it out into the little mold of what they could understand? It would spill out over the sides, out onto the ground, and be wasted. Of course, they kept their silence. What else could they do in those days when hope was fresh and faith was new? They kept their silence, but not forever. They did not keep their silence forever. We are reading this story today, are we not? They told what they saw to others. They shared it, and we read this story every year, do we not? It is what stands before the holy entrance into Lent, this story that they tell. Peter and James and John, they did not keep their silence forever. They risked sharing this experience that was beyond words, this hope that was far beyond what they had ever dared to hope. They risked telling people something that once spoken could never be taken back, because it revealed the truest and deepest hopes of themselves, the unguarded, vulnerable faith that was at the root of their souls. This, I think, is why Jesus took only three people. Why only three people were brought to the top of the mountain to see that. Because if this had been before a great crowd, if there had been thousands there so that everyone could see it, then there would be no need for people to confide in each other. There would have been no need for anyone to blush and stammer their way through sharing their most tender hopes with another person. And it is this sharing, this giving, this risking of what is most precious inside of us. This is what it means to share the good news. Now, Peter and James and John, they had devoted their lives to telling people about Jesus. They had been doing this for some time. But until that day, they had never known what it was to tell the good news. They had never known what it meant to share the good news until there was something so precious to them that it took everything they had to share it with another person. Something so precious to them that it took everything they had not to keep it like a secret forever. Peter, James, and John, they kept what they saw on that mountaintop in silence. I understand it. I do. And unless I am much mistaken, you understand it too. You understand and know what it is to guard something of yourself too precious, too true, too huge and wild to put into words easily. You understand it. You are thinking of it right now. A memory, a face, a hope, a dream, a vision, a memory of glimpsing a loved one in a crowd whom you knew to be dead, a voice you heard speaking in a quiet moment when you know that you were alone, something that you experienced, something in your life that you do not want to talk to anyone about. To talk about it, it would seem, it might turn from light into mud. It might feel like pouring the ocean out into the mold of our little words, only to see it spill over onto the ground and be wasted. Unless I'm much mistaken, you understand why Peter and James and John kept silent in those days. But remember, too, that they did not keep silent forever. They did not keep silent forever. They shared it, what was most precious to them. They risked telling it, that which they might have kept inside forever. They risked being honest. They risked saying out loud those things they had staked their souls upon. Christians, if you would tell the good news to another person, if you would have them meet Jesus, then you will have to risk telling the truth. There is no other way. There is no other good news for you to share other than the good news of what God has done for you. For you.